Now we're holding on page 124 in Brachos, four lines from the bottom, middle of Os Tezayin. We're in the middle of talking about what happened after the Chet Egel, how Moshe is davening on behalf of the Jewish people. So now, the Pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe that I'll wipe out the Jewish people, the Es Os Chalagoy God over Gomer, and I'll make you into a great nation. So what was Moshe's response to that? Moshe answers back. He says, Ribbono shel Olam, umach kiseh shel shalosh raglayim, madach a chair of three legs, meaning the Jewish people who stand on the schus of the three others. Eini yachal lamed b'fnei kascha, or l'fonecha b'shas kascha, it's not able to stand up when you're angry and you're threatening to destroy it. Kiseh shel regel echad, so a chair that's standing on only one leg, heyach yachal lamed b'fnei kascha, how would it be able to stand in front of your anger? Or, the gear said, printed gemara, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? So in other words, if you're saying that you're threatening to destroy the Jewish people and they have the schus of the three others, then what makes me think that my schus is going to be any greater, my schus is lesser because I'm only one as compared to the three? Now, Moshe says, okay, but Moshe himself is descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what kind of an argument is that? It means instead of a three-legged chair, it'll be a four-legged one. So Moshe explains that Moshe is saying, look, if even a three-legged chair is not going to stand up against your anger, what makes anybody think that adding one extra leg is going to make anything any better? So fine, there'll be a four-legged chair if the nation comes from me, but good, what good? If three legs is no good, four legs isn't going to be any better. A couple of other explanations. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Gemara is going to go on to say, the next line is that Moshe says, I'm going to be embarrassed of the others. Well, if he's going to be embarrassed of the others, then he can't very well invoke those schus. So therefore, it'll be back to a chair of only one leg. And then Ben Yehoyada says that what Hashem, the fact that Hashem is threatening to destroy the Jewish people means that he considers that the bris that he made with the others is revoked. Well, in that case, then Moshe may be descended from the others, but he doesn't have a bris with the others to rely on, so if it has to start all over with him, then it literally is a chair of only one leg. The lawyer, and not only that, Moshe continues, El Shiyeshli Boshes Ponim Me'avoisai. If you do that, I'm going to be embarrassed in front of my ancestors, in front of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Shaloyu and Rudeshu, I don't want them to say, Ru'u Ma'panis Hemed Lahem, look what kind of a leader. Look what kind of a leader he set up for them, that Hashem set up for them. Bikish Gdula La'atzmai, all he's looking for is the greatness for himself. V'loy Bikish Rachim Aleim, and he didn't daven for Rachim for the Jewish people. So I can't do that, says Moshe. So Moshe is now going to daven for the Jewish people. So it starts off by Yichal Moshe. So what's the word vayichal? Now, all the drashas that the Gemara is going to have over here are all based on the fact that the normal word would have been vayispalo, Moshe, or something like that. What's the lashon vayichal? So, Amar Rabbi Elazar milamachi spalo Moshe ad shehuchala, means that Moshe davened until he became sick. You have different gersois over here, which is why you have in parentheses over here, Abaya Omar Chechlo La Kodesh Baruch Hu, until he petitioned Hashem. So Rashi says Hiftir Boy, it means that he pleaded with Hashem. But where do you get that? What is Hechlo La Kodesh Baruch Hu? So Marsha says, I don't understand. How does Hechlo have anything to do with petitioning Hashem? So rather, Marsha says that it means Meloshim Cholim. We learned yesterday that Moshe he tiach dvarim klapim mila. That Moshe, instead of so to speak davening respectfully to Hashem, he threw up words and accusations against Hashem to make it happen. That he's going to forgive the Jewish people. So that's what it means. In other words, that he instead of davening the koyved rosh like we learned at the beginning of the parak, instead Moshe is davening in a more cholin way, almost like so kaviyachol treating Hashem more casually. So that would be the Shechlo Lakadosh Baruch Hu, that he treated Hashem, so to speak, as though he's chulin, as though you can talk to him like you would talk to a boss of a job. Say what? Didn't mince his words, yeah. Eitz Yosef brings another thing that we learned at the end of the previous parak, that the Shor Shechal can also mean sweet. In Aramaic, the word chulya means sweet. So Shechlo Lakadosh Baruch Hu means that he sweetened Hashem's judgment. He sweetened the Midas Adin of Hashem. Rava Amar, Rava says another explanation that the word Vayichal is Meloshin Lo Yachol Dvorei Ad Shehitir Lo Nidrei, that Moshe davened to Hashem until he was Matir Hashem's Neder. what neder? So Mar Shav brings from the Medrash that Hashem tells Moshe, what do you mean you want me to forgive the Jewish people and let them stay alive? There's a pasuk in the Torah already, Zeveach lo kim yachram. Anybody who sacrifices to Getchkes deserves to be killed. So then Moshe says to Hashem, but you taught me the concept of Aphoris Tendarim, and Moshe goes and is Matar Hashem's Neder, Kavyachol. So how does that fit into the pasuk? Ktiv hacha vayichal Moshe, or ktiv hacha lo yachal dvarei. We find when a person makes a Neder or Shvua, he's not allowed to profane his word. Which, from their tackle, we learn the concept, that other people are able to be Matar Neder. There's a Mishnah in Chagiga that says, Heter Nedarim, the whole concept of being Matar Nedarim is Purchin Ba'adr. It's like flying, it's like hanging in the air. There's very little in Torah Shvachsav that even tells us the concept. Just those words, Lo Yachal Dvarim. And the Gemara in Chagiga over there brings a few other limudim, but still, the point is that we have a very weak source for it in Torah Shavachsam. It's almost entirely Torah Shavapeh, the concept of our Torah Sindari. But we learn from those words, Vayachal Dvarai, so therefore it means that Moshe is being Matar Hashem's Neder. Now, Hakosev brings over here from the Rashba, I mean, when we talk about being Matar Neder, it means that you have Reuven made a neder and he regrets it. So now he goes to Shimon Machacham or to a Beis Din and they're Matar. How do you talk about that as far as Hashem? There's no Einod Milavadri. So he explains, let's consider the way Hataras Nedarim works. This ties in actually with Daf Yomi these couple of months is Masech Nedarim, so dealing with all these issues. So what happens when a person is Matar Neder? Essentially, he's saying, I have Charata. I wouldn't have made the Neder if I had considered such and such consequences or whatever. So therefore, in terms of Hashem, of course, there's no, I didn't consider. But the point is, we talk about that there's a time when Hashem is angry, Kaviyachol, at what the Jewish people are doing. Then you have, when you have a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu who intercedes on their behalf and shows that there's a good logical reason why Hashem should not be angry at them. And then when Hashem's anger goes away, we can talk about it. As we can use the mashal of being matter of person's net. As if so to speak, the tzaddik is a different being who's able to tell Hashem that to be matter his name. The Amamar, in fact, we learn that when it says lo yachal dvarei who ain't in meichel, it means the person himself can't transgress his word, but other people can help him transgress it, namely by being matter neder. So vayichal Moshe is maloshem that. Shmuel says another meaning of Vayichal means Adshim Moser Atzmi L'Misal Leha. Moshe was ready to be Moser Nefesh to be killed on their behalf. So Rashi explains, according to that, Vayichal is Moloshim Cholol, a dead body. Shenemar is Moshe himself, as Moshe himself says, Vim Ayin Mechenina. If you don't forgive them, then erase me from your Sefer. And what is the Sefer? The Sefer Achayim, the book where Hashem writes, Kavyachol, who's going to live and who's not. So Moshe is asking to be erased from that book. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Omar, another explanation, Ad Shehu Chalalei Midas Rachamim. The word Vayichal means that he was davening until the Midas Rachamim was made to rest on him. Rashi brings from a pasuk, the Yachulu Al Rosh Yoav, where David is putting certain curses on Yoav for something that he did, where there we see the word Yachulu means to land on. So therefore, that he caused Hashem's Rachamim to land on the Jewish people. Rabbanan Amri, and then Rabbanan say yet another explanation of Vayichal. Chulin Hulach, Lasis Kadavar Azeh, means Moshe is arguing with Hashem and saying it would be a profane thing for you to do such a thing, which is essentially the same kind of argument that Avram Avinu used in his time about Tzadim. There might be Tzadikim over there. So here Moshe is saying for sure there are Tzadikim over there. After all, there were many Tzadikim among Jewish people who weren't involved with the Eidol. So he was arguing with Hashem on that point. That's the same thing. Cholilu l'cham, washin cholin u'loch. When Avraham says cholilu u'loch, Rashi translates it on the pasuk that it means cholin u'loch. It would be a profane thing for you to do. It's not appropriate for Hashem, who is Kaddish, to act that way and just destroy everybody indiscriminately. Yeah. And another explanation. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Omer. Rabbi Eliezer Agadol says yet another meaning of Vayichal. Malamachi spalo Moshe ad shachazatu achilu means that Moshe davened on behalf of the Jewish people until the point where he was seized with achilu, which is some kind, as the Gemara is going to say now, means a type of fever. So the Gemara says, my achilu, what is that? What does achilu mean? It means a fire of the bones. My esh shalat somas. What does that mean? They weren't familiar with that term in Bavel. Esh the degarmi. It means a fire of the bones. Esh shalat somas is in Lashon Kodesh. Esh the degarmi is in Aramaic. So that was the term they were familiar with in Bavel. There is also an explanation, actually, though, that esh shalat somas could mean a literal fire, as opposed to eshasa, however you pronounce it, they understood to mean fever. So it doesn't mean a fire in his bones, it means a fever that you feel in your bones. Ben Yehoyada has an interesting point about that. Why that for the bones? So he says, you know, you have the Gemara in Nidah, we learned it towards the end of the summer, that the father's contribution to the baby is the various white things in the body, including the white of the eye, the bones, and so on, the giddim, and so forth. So therefore, so now what happens? Moshe himself, we know from Psukim and Shoftim, and the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra, had a grandson who ended up being a priest for Micha's idol. At the end of Sefer Shoftim, you have the story of Micha setting up an idol over there, and eventually he wound up with, he met up with a grandson of Moshe, Rabbeinu, who was wandering out of Israel, and appointed him as his priest. So now Moshe is saying, look, from my own bones, from my own contribution to my descendants, is Ben Achaben, is going to come somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. So Hashem, you're telling me you want to destroy the Jewish people and start over with me? What good is that going to do? In my descendants alone, there's going to be such people. So Ben Yehoyada says that's why specifically we're associating with a fever in his bones. Next, Moshe continues to Hashem, Zechor la'Avraham v'Yitzchak li'Yisrael avadecha. Remember for Avraham, for Yitzchak, and for Yisrael, your servants, Asher nishbata lahem boch, that you swore to them with yourself. So what my boch? What's the point of adding the word boch? Asher nishbata lahem, you swore to them. What's the point of adding the word boch? Amar Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar, Amar Lefanim, means Moshe is arguing to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Il Molev Hashemayim Va'aretz Nishbata Lahem, if you swore to them by heaven and earth, Hayisi Omer, then I would say, okay, so it means it's not an eternal shvur. My Hashemayim Va'aretz Mutalim, just like the heaven and earth are eventually going to cease to exist, we have many psukim and neviim that describe in Yeshaya, for example, Kehini Nibodesh Hashemayim Chadoshim Va'aretz Chadosha, and other such psukim that imply that eventually there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So then I would figure, okay, it means that your shvua also could be a temporary thing and eventually ceases to exist. But you didn't swear to them by heaven and earth. You swore to them with your own great name. Ma shimcha gadol chay v'kayim la'olam. So just like your great name is chay v'kayim forever, la'olam la'olam la'olamim, forever and ever. Kach shvuas chakemus la'olam la'olam la'olamim. So therefore, that's why he mentions b'cha, that Hashem ishbat lahem boch, rather. That the point is that don't think that Hashem that this is a shvuah that you can revoke. Then he continues, v'chol ha'aretz hazos asher amarti. Then he continues that you swore to Abraham and Yaakov, and he continues, and all the land that I said that I will give etim lazarachem v'nochol olam. So the Gemara asks, asher amartom, by the way. This is all Moshe quoting what Hashem is saying on the face of it. So he's saying, asher nishbato lahem bach, v'tidaber aleihem. He's all speaking in second person to Hashem. Why all of a sudden asher amarti, that I said? So the answer is, Amar Abulazar, Ad kan divrei Talmud, kan ve'elach divrei Hagam. It means that actually the pasuk is switching speakers at this point. That up until that point, Moshe is, Marsha explains, in other words, the question is like this. Of course, you could understand, as the Gemara is going to understand, according to another opinion, that it means that all of this half of the pasuk is in quoting what Hashem said. But the Dabir Aleihem, and you said to them as follows, open quote, Abes Zarachem Bechoich Hashemayim Bechol Oretz Eses Shemati Etim Zarachem Menochol Olam, close quote. Why doesn't the Gemara want to learn it that way? Because we never actually find, says Marisho, we never actually find that Hashem used just those words in speaking to the Ovis. Etim Zarachem Menochol Olam, we never find that Loshen spoken to the Ovis. So therefore, the Gemara is understanding that now we're switching speakers. Now that Moshe has said his peace to Hashem, Hashem Nishbat Lahem Bach, Vatadaber Aleihem, Ibrah Sarachim, Kachach Hashemayim, then we understand there is the end of the quotation. Now, Hashem replies, you're right. I will accept your argument, and I will give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people forever, and I will do what you're saying. That's one opinion. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Omer, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Talmid Hein. No, the whole thing is Moshe quoting what Hashem says. V'Hachi Kama, what he means is, Dvarim Shamauta Li Leich Emor Lahem Yisrael B'Shmi, what you told me previously to tell the Jewish people, that I will take you out of Mitzrayim, and I will bring you, El Eretz Tovah Rechava, I went and told the Jewish people in your name. Now, if you decide to destroy them, what am I going to tell them? They're going to doubt my nevuah. And Anaf Yosef brings from the Tzlach. There's the famous idea that when Hashem makes a promise to somebody, that even if it's a promise for good, if it was made to a person individually, then it could be canceled. We had at the beginning of the Masechta, we had in connection with Yaakov, and why is he so afraid of Esav, when Hashem promised him, Mehini Anochi Imach, on this week's Parsha, because he figures Shema Yigra Machet. But if Hashem says do a Navi to the people, then if it's a Nevuah for good, it can never be revoked. So Moshe now is appealing to that point. Given that that's the way it is, that when a Navi says a Nevuah to the Jewish people for good, it can never be revoked. You told me this as a Nevuah to tell the Jewish people, so how can you go now go and revoke it? So now the Gemara digresses to another time when Moshe is davening on behalf of the Jewish people. After the story of the Meraglim. So again, Hashem threatens to destroy the Jewish people and store it over with Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, Moshe davens to Hashem. And in his tefillah, he uses the expression, Mibilti Yecholas Hashem. The Goyim are going to think that it's because of a lack of Hashem's ability to take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael that he killed them in the Midbar. So the Gemara is asking, Yochol Hashem Miboyle. On the face of it, the expression, Yecholas, sounds like Loshen Nekeva. So the expected expression would be, Mibilti Yochol Hashem. That the Goyim are going to think because Hashem is not capable. So why Yecholes? And in fact, Marsha says, fine, Rashi explains on the pasuk that the word Yecholes really is a noun. It's not a verb able to, or an adjective, whatever. It's really rather a noun, capability. Mibilti Yecholes Hashem means that the goyim are going to think, Chas v'shalom, that Hashem does not have the capability. The problem is, Marsha says, then the expression in the pasuk should be, Mibilti Yecholes La Hashem, that they're going to think Hashem lacks the capability. So why the expression "Mibilti Yecholas Hashem"? Why is the Lamed missing? So Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Moshe, like now Kadosh Baruch Hu, means that Moshe is saying to Hashem, "Ribono Shloim, Achshav Yomer Ho'Ovdi Kechavim." Now, if you do what you're threatening to wipe out the Jewish people and store over with me, the Goyim are going to say, "Toshash Kriichik Nekeva." Hashem's power is weak, like a female, the Eni Yocholah Hatzilah, and he can't save them. So therefore, that's why he's using the Lashon Yecholas. So what's the idea behind it? So our Kosef brings from the Rashba over here, it's not a matter of Yecholas being washing the cape. What it is, he knows very well, like Rashi says on the Pasuk, that the word Yecholas really is a noun, and that's just the form of the noun, is like that, it means capability. What he's saying is like this. What did the Goyim believe at that point? They knew that Hashem exists. Even Pare says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koloi. He doesn't deny that Hashem exists. He just claims that Hashem doesn't control things, and in particular that the Jewish people are under the control of the Sorim and Mazolus, just like all the other nations. So now Moshe is saying, if you destroy the Jewish people in the Midbar, then the Mitzriim and everybody else are going to say, so Moshe says like this, I can't possibly say that they're going to argue Mibilti Yochol Hashem. They know full well, given that Hashem exists, they know he has the capability. They're going to argue, though, Mibilti Yecholes Hashem, they're going to argue that this capability that was done to bring the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim is not Hashem's capability, it's the capability of some powerful Sar or Mazel or whatever, and therefore it can be overridden. And when he says Toshash Koich Nekeva, the Rashba goes on to explain, we know that Zohar represents Mashpia, the Nekeva represents the Kabbal. So the Goyim are going to think that the Goyim are going to think that Hashem is not the Zohar, the Mashpia. They're going to think that you are the Mekabal, that you receive from some power higher than you, and therefore that higher power can override you, Chas v'shalom. So that's his argument. Marsha says somewhat the same thing in different Osius, that the same idea, in other words, that an Akeva is ruled over by the Zohar, and therefore they're going to think that it means that Hashem has, Rahman al-Fan, somebody over him. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem says to him, Ben Amram, or Moshe, what do you mean? Would the Goyim even think such a thing? Didn't everybody see the Nisim and the powerful things that I did for them by the Yamsuf? How could any of them possibly think, like we're saying, that there's some power greater than me? But Moshe answers back, fine, but what they're going to argue is, Hashem is able to stand up against one king, against Paroi, but not against 31 kings, because after all, that was how many kings were in Eretz Yisrael that the Jewish people ended up defeating and conquering. So therefore, yes, they're still going to argue. They're still going to argue that your power is limited, like in the cave, like we're saying. In fact, the Rif brings in the pasuk over there before that, Moshe says, the Omru, they will say, El Yoshev Ha'aretz Hazos, El literally means two, but it doesn't mean they're going to be saying two. The Mitzrayim aren't going to be speaking to the Canaanim, but they're going to be saying regarding the nations of this land that Hashem doesn't have the power to defeat them. So he says the word El is Gematria 31. Hinting at this argument of Moshe's that they were going to say one king Hashem could overpower, but 31 kings not. So how do we know that Hashem ended up agreeing to Moshe, agreeing with that argument of that the Goyim are going to say me guilty yecholas, and therefore we can't allow that to happen? Hashem says, I've forgiven according to your words. Meaning, in other words, what is being added by the word kidvarecha? It means that he's saying, because of your argument, because of this valid point that you made of what the Goyim are going to think, therefore that those are the grounds on which I'm forgiving the Jewish people. And Tanan of Rabbi Shmuel and in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a further detail within that. It means kidvarecha astidina obdikachavim shiyom. It means that yes, the Goyim are going to say like you argued in the future if I don't do differently than what I was planning to do. So that's another meaning of kidvarecha. So actually, Talmud to Rabbi Moideloi, how happy, how fortunate is a Talmud whose Rebbe agrees with him. So how fortunate is Moshe Rabbeinu that he came up with a valid argument that Hashem agreed to. And then Hashem continues in the next pasuk after Salakti Kivaracha, Hashem continues, Ulam Chai Oni, however I am alive. Now, in the simple sense of the pasuk, what it means is that Hashem is going to swear by his own life that I'm going to do such and such. Even though I'm not going to destroy the Jewish people, I'm going to keep them in the Midbar for 40 years, etc. But the Marsha says, the Gemara is bothered by the question, how does the pasuk go? Ulam chai oni, however Hashem says, I am alive, v'yimolich vod Hashem es kol ha'aretz, the glory of Hashem fills the entire world. And then the next pasuk continues, im yiru ha'anoshim ha'ela, that I swear that these people will not see Eretz Yisrael. If it just means that Hashem is swearing by his own life, then the pasuk seems to be out of order. Then the Rashi, in fact, points out on the pasuk that on Parshat Pshat, the words of the pesukim have to be rearranged. That Hashem is saying that I live and my glory fills the entire earth, and I swear by that they won't go into Eretz Yisrael, etc. So therefore, the Gemara wants to understand the words Chai Oni as an answer that Hashem is telling Moshe. It means Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Melamed Shomala HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. This teaches us that Hashem told Moshe, Moshe Hechisani B'Dvarecha. Moshe, you have made me come alive with your words. Now, what do you mean? Hashem is already alive. But what it means is, in other words, that going back to what we were saying, that the Goyim are going to claim that Hashem's power is limited. So now Hashem is saying that now you, with your argument, that and with your with your argument, everybody will see now that I have the ultimate power, and in that sense, therefore, you have made me live in the world that you have you've shown the world that Hashem really is the only chayus and is the only power in the world, which otherwise they would have argued to the contrary. In fact, on the side of the Gemara. On the side of the Gemara over here, you have here and there throughout Brachas, you have a pirush from Reb Nissim Goin. So he has a long discussion of this piece of Gemara. What do you mean? How do you say such a thing? Hachisani b'dvaracha. In fact, he says, Hachokim al-dibre Rabbi Senu Zal, he says, people who argue with the words of the Chachamim, Pashkasi means Haroyim, maybe also Muslims and Christians and who knows who else, whatever. They were making fun of this. What do you mean? You're saying that Moshe gave life to Hashem? So the Kitzur, what he explains is this whole point, that given that, essentially, who do you find, who has the ultimate power? Only the one who is Chai Olamim, only Hashem, who is the life of the world, and therefore, since he's the one who gives life to the world, therefore his power never ends. Now, the Goyim, Moshe was arguing, are going to say that you don't have that ultimate power. Therefore, in that sense, they don't believe that you're Chai Olamim. Now Hashem says, now that I will demonstrate that, in fact, Salachti Kibaracha, then it's true. If Hashem had done that, they wouldn't recognize Hashem's ultimate power. They wouldn't realize that Hashem is Chai HaOlamim. Now they realize it. So in that sense, Hachisani b'Gonacha means that because of your tefillah, you've caused that the Goyim will realize that I am Allah. The Gemara continues, speaking of Moshe's tefillah, Dorash Reb Simloi said a drosha, La'olam yisada adam shvacha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'achat ha'tispala. The person should always first arrange and speak of the praise of Hashem, and only then should he daven for what he's asking for from Hashem. Menolon mi Moshe. We learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu. Dichtiv, v'aschanen al Hashem v'aizahi. Moshe says, I petitioned Hashem at that time to go into Eretz Yisrael. Uchtiv, Hashem alekim atachi loisav v'beimer. So what does he start with? First he says, Hashem, you have begun to show me, to show us abdecha, es godlecha, es yodcha, chazaka, your greatness and your powerful hand, etc. And only after that does he start, Ebranav, eres aretatov v'beimer. Let me cross the Yarden and see the good life. So we see that Moshe first spoke of Hashem's Shvachim. So in fact, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah where in fact we have a machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether that's the correct order to do things, or whether it should be that first you ask for your Tzrachim and then you praise Hashem. And then the Gemara goes on to say that in a certain sense, the halacha is not like either one of them, because as we've talked about earlier in our Masechta, you are allowed in the middle of any of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to add your own requests for what you need from Hashem. So Akosif over here brings a long thing from the Rashba that explains the idea behind this. Whenever you're asking somebody for something, he says, you have to have three things in mind. Number one, you have to consider, is it that the person owes it to you, or is it that you're asking him for a favor that you're not, that he doesn't owe you anything? Second of all, you have to consider, does he have the power to do what you're asking? And third of all, you have to consider, is there somebody else that you could equally well be asking instead? So the Chachamim wanted, so when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we're going to be asking Hashem, etc., all the various petitions that we ask for in Shemoneh Esrei, the Chachamim wanted us to be aware, to be clear on all those three things. Realize we're not asking Hashem for things that we deserve, we're asking for Hashem as a chesed. Hashem has the power to fulfill our request, and Hashem is the only one who can. So therefore, each of the three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, each of the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei is on one of those themes. The first one is about how Hashem does chesed, the zoicha chaste of us. So in other words, we're not saying you owe us one. The second one was saying, after giver, you have the ultimate power, so you have the power to do what we want. The third one is after kodesh, that we recognize that you are the only one, even the malachim, as great and powerful as the malachim are, even they recognize that you are infinitely greater than them. Once we have those three things straight in our minds, now we're ready to start petitioning Hashem for the various things we need. So he says, in the Gemara, in Avodah Zarah over there, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing whether we can learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu or not. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer says that's not a proof because Moshe, the expression is Rab Guvre. Moshe was very powerful, meaning that he's always meaning that Moshe is always in the frame of mind to be able to ask Hashem in the right way. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do the same thing. So then, in the end, the actual structure of Shemoneh Esrei is like Rabbi Yeshua, that we have first the three brachas that express these three ideas, but then the Gemara goes on to say there that in a certain sense, the halacha is not like either one of them, because the fact is that you could actually, once you have the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, then in the rest of the brachas, in between asking Hashem for what you need and thanking Hashem that he grants such a thing, in between, after choinen, and saying, choinen hadas, in between Hashivenu and each one of them, you're allowed to add in your own petitions. So you don't have to wait until you've praised Hashem for that thing, and only then petition Hashem for your personal needs. In that regard, you're allowed to insert it into the middle of the bracha.
Can you say that the shvachim are not for Hashem, but for our own benefit?
Well, of course, that is the purpose of praising Hashem, is for our own benefit, is to. Shemayat Tefillah, you can add anything. The other ones, you can only add things that are appropriate to the bracha. Yeah, of course. It's not like Hashem needs our shvachim. Ultimately, the purpose of the shvachim, yeah, is in order that to fix these ideas in our heads, to make us realize that Hashem is Kol Yachol, and Hashem is all the other great things that we praise Him for. Yeah. Right, exactly. It's not because we have to butter up Hashem, but rather because we have to make ourselves a keli to receive Hashem's brachas, and the way we do that is by developing that sense of bittul, which is accomplished to begin with by saying Hashem's shavah. Yeah. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar, G'doyla tefila yosmi maisim toivim. Tefila is even greater than maisim toivim. After all, there's no one who is as great in Maisim Tovim as Moshe Rabbeinu. And Afal Pi Kein, and even so, Leinena Ela B'Tefillah. He was answered with, when he's asking Hashem to allow him to even see Eretz Yisrael, he was answered only through Tefillah. Shenemer, Al Toisef Daber Eli V'Gomer. Hashem tells him, don't continue speaking to me about this. But then, the next pasuk Hashem says, "Alei Rosh Hapiska, go up to the mountaintop." In other words, the Rashi says, because of your tefillah, I'm at least allowing you to see Eretz Yisrael. If it weren't for your tefillah, I wouldn't even allow you that. But like this, you're having that dispensation that you get to see Eretz Yisrael. So we see that his tefillah accomplished more than his mice and toad. Now, Tosfos says that it means that tefillah together with Maisim Tovim is greater than Maisim Tovim without tefillah. Because we're saying, in other words, Moshe needed both. He needed Maisim Tovim, and on top of that, he needed tefillah. Maushan says that no, what we mean, we don't even mean that. I mean, many of the Mephoshim say there's not really much of a chiddush in that. Of course, tefillah together with Maisim Tovim is greater than just Maisim Tovim. So Maushan says, in other words, the point is that it's not the mice and tovim themselves didn't help at all. Only the tefillah. The implication seems to be that only the tefillah. Al Tosef, Daber Eli, don't speak any more to me about this, but your tefillah exclusively has accomplished this, that you're going to be able to see Eretz Yisrael. So not like Tosfos, and Marisha was saying, not like Tosfos, that it means that you need the combination of both. It means just tefillah by itself accomplishes that.
Just tefillah.
So that's the thing. Tosfos is saying it means tefillah with mice and toy. Yeah. Eitz Yosef brings another point as well. That the reason why, what does it mean when the pasuk says, V'ashanan al Hashem bo'isahi lamer. Now the word lamer always means to tell over to somebody else. But here Moshe is davening between himself and Hashem. Who's the lamer? Who's being told this for the future? So he brings from Yalkut Shimoni on the pasuk, that the lamer is to tell future generations that to daven to Hashem in an eis tzara and never to give up. Because even though Moshe had been already told he's not going into Eretz Yisrael, he's still davening over and over again. So now, if you say, like Tosfos is saying, that you need the combination of Maisim Tovim together with Tefillah, how are future generations going to learn that? Their Maisim Tovim are nowhere near the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu's. Therefore, it has to be. Therefore, we're saying that the point is that Tefillah by itself is able to accomplish something that mice and tovim cannot. Therefore, people in future generations should be able to realize for themselves, even if my mice and tovim are nowhere near Moshe Rabbeinu's, but I can daven to Hashem, and okay, my tefillah is not going to be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's either, of course, but still, it'll still, the pasuk is telling us, lamer, that tefillah is effective in future generations as well. So that's the thing. According to Tosfos, you need both. According to everybody else, we're saying that no, the point of the Gemara is that only tefillah by itself, even if a person doesn't have such maisim tovim, the tefillah by itself is effective. Pnei Yeshua, by the way, on the Gemara brings over here an interesting and well-known point. There's a famous medrash that says that Varskanan is gematria 515, and it means that Moshe davened 515 tefillahs for Hashem to let him into Eretz Yisrael. So why dafka that number? So he calculates that Moshe started davening these tefillahs on Tu B'Av, on Chamisha As B'Av, there was officially, the Gzeira was lifted, that people are going to die in the Midbar. We know they lived that year, Tisha B'Av, nobody died, and they went back into the graves every night, and Chamisha As B'Av, they realized the moon is full, and therefore nobody's going to be dying anymore. So from that day on, Moshe is davening to Hashem. So the Pnei Yeshua calculates, if you figure out the number of days from then until Zayin Adar, subtracting Shabbosim, because on Shabbosim and Yom Tovim, you don't daven for your personal needs, and it calculates you come out with exactly 515, I think he says you come out with 516, but you have the day that he passed away itself was a Shabbos, and then he passed away by Mincha, so therefore like that one is missing, so therefore you wind up with exactly 515 Tfilas. Shachas Mincha Maariv, each of the weekdays, yeah.
All the way to Zayin
Adar. All the way from Chamisha As B'Av till Zayin Adar, yeah. V'omer Rav Elazar, in this connection, talking about the greatness of Tefillah, Rav Elazar says, G'dolah Tefillah Yosef and HaKorbanos. Tefillah is even greater than the Korbanos. Like this, we always say, you know, Ala Torah V'Ala Avodah V'Al Gmuz Chasadim, and we say, when there's no Avodah of Korbanos, then Tefillah serves as a substitute. But now Rav Elazar is telling us that in a way Tefillah is even greater than the Korbanos. Shenema, we find that Yeshaya says to the people, Lama li reivz v'cheichem, Hashem says, what do I need all your Tefillah? What do I need all your Korbanos? And then a few psukim later, Yeshaya says, Uforischem kapechem, even when you spread out your hands in Tefillah, as we know, in those times they used to do Tefillah with outstretched hands. Later, we don't do that nowadays because eventually the Goyim took up that minhag, so it became Chukas HaGoyim. But anyway, so the point is, now, if Tefillah was not as great as Korbanos, then once he's saying, I don't want your Korbanos, what would be the chiddush of saying that Hashem is saying, I don't want your Tefillahs either? Therefore, we see from that, says Rashi, that it means that Tefillah is greater than Korbanos. So now Hashem is saying, I don't want your Korbanos, which are the lesser thing. I don't even want your Tefillahs, which are the greater thing, as long as you're not doing trouble. That's the thing. So that's the point. In other words, he's saying, when you spread out your hands in Tefillah, I don't want to listen. Because you have the various averus from Adon L'Chaveroi, so what we see from that, the fact that he mentions that only after mentioning that I don't want your korbanos, shows that Tefillah is greater than the korbanos. In this connection, though, also Farischem Kapechem refers to duchening, when the Kohenim lift up their hands. So the Gemara brings in this connection of a din. Amar Rav Yechonon, kol koyin shahorek asan nefesh, a koyin who killed somebody, lo yisa es kapab, is not allowed to duchen. That same pasuk when it begins with Farischem Kapechem, when you spread out your hands, Hashem says, I don't want to pay attention because Yedeichem Damim Maleu, your hands are full of blood. So we learn from that, therefore, that it means that a Kohen who killed somebody is not allowed to do it. Marshal explains also the pasuk in the middle of the pasuk over there, you have the words Gam Ki Saubu Tefillah. The pasuk says even if you increase the amount of davening, you're not going to do. Hashem says, I don't want to listen. So what do we mean by increasing davening? We mean on Yom Kippur, for example, you have extra tefillahs, and in principle, each of the tefillahs of Yom Kippur, you would duchen. Lamaisa, we don't. We duchen only, we have duchening on Yom Kippur, just like other Yom Tovim, only Musaf. But in principle, you would have duchening on Yom Kippur by every one of the tefillahs, and since we don't, instead we say Alekeinu V'Alekeinu. So therefore, even on a day when Tarbu tefillah, when you have extra tefillahs, like Yom Kippur, nevertheless, a Koyin Shaharagas and Nefesh is not supposed to duchen on that day, because Hashem doesn't want to listen. So in Shulchan Aruch it's broad. If it was b'mezid, then definitely. If it's b'shogeg, then I think you have a machlokas a poskim on it. There's also the question: can he ever do tshuva and go back to duchening? But yeah, there are halachas about that in Shulchan Aruch. V'amar Rav Elazar, another thing about Tefillah, Rav Elazar says, Miyom Shechora Beis HaMikdash, ever since the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ninalu Shari Tefillah, the gates of Tefillah are locked. Which means, Marsha explains, and this Gemara is also in Bava Metzia, that the tefillahs, as we learned in the previous perek, are supposed to go to Hashem through the Beis HaMikdash. We learned in the previous perek, wherever you are in the world, you face the Beis HaMikdash when you daven, and your tefillahs go through the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, it's so to speak, like the office is closed, and therefore the gates of tefillah are closed. So like, in other words, our tefillahs are not as easily accepted by Hashem as they were before. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Eicha, Gam ki ezak b'ashaveya, even when I scream out and I cry out, sosam tefilasi, Hashem has closed up my tefillah. The gates are, so to speak, closed. But the afapisha sharet tefillah ninalu, even though the gates of davening are closed, sharet dima loy ninalu, the gates of tears are not closed, and knows Hashem still pays attention. Shenema, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, Shima tefilasi Hashem. Hashem, listen to my tefillah. The Shabbosi has, you know, and pay attention to my cry. El dimosi al techrash. To my tears, don't be silent. So Rashi over here explains, in other words, he's not saying, see my tears. He's saying, don't be silent. In other words, respond to them. So the implication is Hashem is definitely seeing them. There's no question that the gates of tears, therefore, we see, are not closed, and Hashem will definitely see them. The only thing we're asking is that Hashem shouldn't, so to speak, ignore them, that he should do something about them. Rashi over there in Bava Metzia explains somewhat differently that Al Techrash is not even saying don't, it's saying you will not. In other words, in effect, David is saying, when there are tears involved, you are not able, Kaviyachol, to remain silent about it. Well, that's what it means, right? But in other words, the point is, Al Techrash, on the face of it, means it's an imperative. Don't be silent. But the Rashi over there explains that it means not don't be, but you will not be. You're not able to be. You're not able to be silent about that. So we see that the Shari Dima are not closed up. Maharsha there says another point as well. The end of the pasuk continues, Tigera Noshi Imach, that we're saying we're like gerim with you, meaning specifically we're talking in the time of Golus, when we're not Toshavim, we're not residents in Eretz Yisrael like we're supposed to be, and we're saying that Al Techrash, that Hashem won't be silent to when there are tears. So we see that even then the Shared Moris are not closed. The Omer of Elazar, and this connection also to Elazar says, Miyom Shechorah Beis Mikdash, ever since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Nifsaka Choymas Barzel Ben Yisrael La'Aviyam Shebashmayim. There's an iron wall, an iron curtain separating between the Jewish people and Hashem. Shenema, as you find, Hashem tells Yechezkel, you have a whole thing where Hashem tells Yechezkel to act out the events of the Churban. So Hashem tells him to take a brick and engrave a picture of Yerushalayim on it, and then to besiege it, like the way Nebuchadnezzar and his army are going to be besieging Yerushalayim. And they tells him, take for yourself an iron pan, and place it as an iron wall between you and the city. So we mean, in other words, So therefore, Yechezkel, so to speak, is standing in for Hashem in that thing. So therefore, Hashem is saying that there will be at the time of the Churban, there will be an iron wall between me and the Jewish people. Now, Maharsha stresses that this is talking about tefillah. We said before that the gates of tefillah are closed. On the other hand, when it comes to praise of Hashem, when it comes to Kedusha and Baruch Hu, then actually we say Fakir. We say Afilu Mechitza Shel Barzel, that even an iron curtain can't separate between Hashem and the Jewish people. We have that comes up lahalacha also. For example, also as far as duchanim that we were just talking about, if you have people who are behind the koyanim, we know they're not included in the bracha, but if they're in front of the koyanim, even if there's a physical mechitza separating from the koyanim, or even if they're not in the shul at all, you have a case where the shul has exactly a minion of koyanim, and all 10 of them go in duchan, and they're doing it on behalf of Achayim Shevasodis, of the Jewish people who are everywhere else in the fields, even though they are separated by walls, nevertheless, mechitza shel barzel can't separate that to the Jewish people from Aviyam Shabashmah. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. So Tamar Shah is saying that there's davening versus there's the shvach of Hashem. There's tefillah when we're petitioning Hashem for what we want versus shvach where we're praising Hashem, or like duchening, which is a special kind of bracha. You have all over the place in Siddur where it talks about Ad Meheir Yoritz Dvorei, about the greatness of Birkas Koyanim compared to other forms of Ashpah from Hashem. So those were saying even a Mechitza Shel Barzel that we're talking about over here exists, doesn't block those. The Eitz Yosef says on it. So he says that Shari Dimalo Ninalu, that when the gate, the entrance that the tefillahs with tears go in, no malach and no mamuna opens that, only Hashem b'atzmo b'chvodei, and when this tefillah comes up above, then a certain oifan, a certain high level malach comes out. He's in charge of Chayis HaKodesh, and he takes that tefillah with tears and brings it up to Hashem and brings it up to a very high place. The Pashtus, because a Malach, after all. Well, Yerachmiel and Yerachmeel are actually not the same thing. You know, it's interesting. The name Yerachmiel is common enough. in Psukim, in Tanakh, you have at least one character, maybe there's more, I don't remember, named Yerachmeel. You actually never find Yerachmeel with the Yud over there. That form of the name seems to have developed later. It's actually good. And Shmos Gittin, in Halachas of that, as far as how you write names for Gittin and Ksubas and other such things, there is, in fact, that difference. In general, you attack that you would write Yerachmeel, unless you happen to know that the person is using the Tanakh form of the name. So that's the thing. They're not closed as in the tefillahs don't go to Hashem at all, but like, so to speak, it's much more difficult for them to get through. Yom Yen Mashiach Gola, Dalad Cheshvan. The Rebbe was talking about taking on Achlotas Tovus. So the Rebbe said that, you're right, Kislev. Why am I doing my Cheshvan? Whoops, I did yesterday, and then I did yesterday wrong also. Whoops. Okay. No. Dalad Kislev, yeah. The Pasuk says, V'lo yikonef oid meirecha, your master won't be hidden anymore, won't be hidden by a corner of a garment anymore. V'ho yu'enecha royas es meirecha, your eyes will behold your teacher. So that means, that explains, nowadays, we can't even see, nowadays, we're not able to see, but of course, not even a corner, just like the edge, the corner of the garment. The lavush itself is tofel to the one who's clothed in the garment, and certainly, so we don't even see the lavush as a whole, let alone the meirech. But la'asid lavi, this whole concept of konach, the whole seder ashtalshlus, the whole ma'isim merkava, the ifanim that we were just mentioning, and that thing from the Eitz Yosef, the eses spiras will still be there, but those will no longer conceal all the course like the way they do now. That's below konach oid merecha, that all those things of seder ashtalshlus will not conceal all the course the way they do now. Continuing on halachas about drinking wine. So you have the various dinim over here about if you were drinking one kind of wine and then they bring another kind and you say atoy vametiv. Frankly, I don't know how common it is that you have that anymore, because in particular you only have that if you didn't have in mind to have the second kind of wine, and then if you're the balabas, you know what kinds are available, and even if not, you usually put them out on the table in advance. So unless people think that there's a particular reason to go through those halachas, then I think we'll skip them. So going on then to one din he does mention over here is that if you're benching on a kois, then even if it's a different kind of wine, you wouldn't say atov vametiv on it, because you already said atov vametiv in benching. The fourth brach of benching has atov vametiv in it. What? Okay. Rachanan ben Achashem, Matzor Chodesh Bochul Zakas Zol, Pichu Belam Tamitz, Shneimad, Nechom Etzman Tipkir, Mitzor Rav Yachin.